today on Anchored in the Word.
It's one of those things where you just are confronted with really who you are and what the sad situation that you're in. The king, as it says in the book of James, it was a mirror. That's what the Bible is. It's a mirror. When you look into the Word of God, it shows you who you are. Now, that particular day, God knows what I needed that day, and he didn't show me my sin. I already was aware of that at the point, but he showed me his love through the book of Psalms. But the idea is, when you look in the Bible, it's a mirror, the Bible says in James. And it shows us who I really am.
But I'm anchored deep in your great love. I'm anchored deep in who you are. I'm anchored deep in holy word. I'm anchored deep in you, my Lord.
This is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman. Do you avoid reading your Bible because you feel conviction from it? Pastor Bill reminds us today that the Bible is a mirror. If we're reading it and we don't like what we see, we need to make a change. We wouldn't look in the mirror and leave spinach in our teeth. So why would we look in the mirror of the Word and leave our hearts dirty? At the close of Pastor Bill's message, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of today's broadcast of Anchored in the Word. Subscribe to the podcast or simply get in touch with us. Now, here's Pastor Bill with today's edition of Anchored in the Word.
There was a man who, after originally discovering the Word of God, after a time of walking away from the Word of God and putting down the Word of God, not picking up the Word of God, and he went on with his life, and he lived his life to the best of his ability, I guess, of his own ability. And he ended up finding himself in a situation as several years went by. He found himself in a pile. And on his way to the pile, trying to find the peace that surpasses understanding, he tried to drink himself so he could have peace. And many other things in life that he just tried to find the peace that was in his soul as a result of a broken relationship. He couldn't fill that void of peace. So as he lay on his bed contemplating suicide, just to end the pain, he heard a still small voice as he was crying out to the God of the universe, as he was crying to God, telling him he thought he was a good husband and all that stuff. And the Lord said to him, "You haven't spoken to me in years." And what could he say to that? It was true. And so he went over to his closet and he dug around in the box that was there, and he found a book in the bottom of it that he hadn't even read, that particular book, and he picked it up and he just opened it. It was a Bible. And for the first time in years, the peace of God flooded his soul because he rediscovered the Bible. He tried to have that peace in many other ways, but he couldn't find it. And he found it in the book. And that loving God that was revealing himself through the Bible is still here today. And that's what happened here in chapter 22. They'd forgotten about the book. The Word of God was put away. And the result of that was, as it plays itself out in one person's life, it's chaotic. You live a life of chaos. And that's what was happening in the nation of Israel. It was chaotic. And they no longer served the living God, the God of the Word. They served different gods, many gods, and they had many religious things that they were involved in, but the true and living God wasn't being served. And so there was no peace in their souls. And on to the scene in Israel comes an 8-year-old. Amazing. God decides to use an 8-year-old for them to rediscover the Word of God. And so we pick it up in chapter 22 of 2 Kings. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscoth, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And he walked in all the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or the left. Now it came to pass, in the 18th year of King Josiah, that the king sent Shaphan the scribe, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, to the house of the Lord, saying, "Go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may count the money which had been brought into the house of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have gathered from the people." and let them deliver it into the hand of those doing the work who are the overseers in the house of the Lord. Let them give it to those who are in the house of the Lord doing the work to repair the damages of the house, to carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Now, what's happening here is we got a young boy. This young king has become king at 8 years old, and it says that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Now, we know that this is one of the good kings of the south. He's a good little guy, and he does not only does he do what's right in the sight of the Lord, but he, as his father David did, so he's already a good king. He's got some learning, some teaching from somewhere, and he finds himself in this nation, and then we get to the place where he's 18 years into his reign. He's 26 years old at this point, and they're doing some work on the temple. Yeah, the temple's in disrepair, and they're doing some work in the temple. And so he's got there's a big building project going on for the temple there. And that's what's being talked about here in the first six chapters. And in verse 7, it says, however, there need be no accounting made for them of the money delivered into their hand, because they deal faithfully. Then Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. So the book of the law, in that time, the first five books of Moses. Could have been all of them, it could have been just Deuteronomy. But it was something that would speak them and show them who God is and what he expected of their lives. Because God has made us, he's created us. And then if you're a Christian, he saved you, and you're going to heaven. He has a plan for your life, and heaven is a part of that plan. But before you get there, there's also other things that he would like you to do in this life, and he wants to speak to you along the way, and that's done through the Bible, through the book. And so that's what's happened here is this high priest says, as we were cleaning up the house of God, we found this book, and he read it, and then he gives it to the scribe, and it says that, he says, I found this book of the law in the house of the Lord, and Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. Now, I'm going to first say to you that a Bible is no good unless you read it. It doesn't end there, but that's the beginning. I had that Bible. That man was me, by the way. I had that Bible in my closet for all that time. I'd never even read that particular one. But a Bible is no good unless it's read and then heeded after you read it. So the scribe read it. And it will change your life. I'm telling you, when you read the Bible, it will change your life. You know, so many people talk about what's in the Bible. It's written by man and this and that and the other. And there's contradictions in the Bible. And most of those people never even read the Bible. Ask them next time that happens. How much have you really read of the Bible? I mean, they've read, man reads many books. This is the only book that's like no other book that will change someone's life. Oh, you can read books that'll give you good hints and ideas about way to live, but this thing will change a person from the inside out. No other book can do that. And so, I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And verse 9 tells us that, so Shaphan the scribe went to the king, bringing the king word, saying, your servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of those who do the work, who oversee the house of the Lord. Then Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Now it happened, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, that he tore his clothes. That was a sign that the Jews used. And then they would put sackcloth on and dust on their heads. It was a sign of mourning, and weeping went with it. They would just rip their clothes, and because he realized that, oh, it's one of those things where you just are confronted with really who you are and what the sad situation that you're in. The king, as it says in the book of James, it was a mirror. That's what the Bible is. It's a mirror. When you look into the Word of God, it shows you who you are. Now, that particular day, God knows what I needed that day, and he didn't show me my sin. I already was aware of that at the point, but he showed me his love through the book of Psalms. But the idea is, when you look in the Bible, it's a mirror, the Bible says in James. And it shows us who I really am. And sometimes when you look in that mirror, it's not really pleasant what you see. But thank the Lord that he doesn't leave us there. He shows us a way out. It's called repentance. And so the king, as he tears his clothes, and by the way, the word of God read should bring a response. And that's what we see. That's the open heart that comes to the Word of God. And that was the king's heart. He had an open heart. He had a soft heart towards the Lord, as is going to be said here, towards him. And when he went to the book, he just didn't go to get smarter. He didn't go to look at everybody else's life and see what they were doing right or wrong. He went to the book to seek God, and in it, with the right heart, it showed him his condition. And not only his condition, because remember, this guy is the highest official in the kingdom. He's the king. And he's leading these people. And he also sees their condition. And then we're going to see something about this king. And this is the thing about the Word of God. It's got to be read first, but then it must be heeded. Heeded. H-E-E-D-E-D. Heeded. You must do what it says. 26-year-old Josiah did it. And I'm sure that what happened to him is he got radical and started making things happen in Israel there. Maybe some people were talking about him. Because that's what happens to Christians, by the way, when you read the Word of God and you get radical for Jesus. You know, you think, you expect to have people on the outside, you know, look at you like you're nuts in the world. But when people inside in the church do that, and that's when it gets a little hard, but that's what happens. But it didn't stop this young man, the king. He just went about, and he was in a good position to do these things, you might say, because he was the highest one in the kingdom. He really feared the Lord. And what we, as we look at him and see what he did in Israel to try and not just first and foremost make himself right before God, but to help the people be right before God. But the first thing that he did was he tore his clothes. He saw the condition that he was in. Verse 12 says, then the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam the son of Shaphan, Achbor the son of Micaiah, Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah a servant of the king, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me, for the people and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is roused against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book, to do according to all that is written concerning us. Now, in the law, the first five books of Moses, and specifically Deuteronomy, it talks about, in Leviticus, it talks about the things that are expected of the nation of Israel. And the idea was, if you did what God said, there'd be a blessing. And if you went against what the Lord said, there'd be a curse. And the Lord God made it clear in the Word of God. And so he'd seen by this that he was raised, he recognized that his fathers, his ancestors, had not been doing what God said, not just because of his upbringing, because of all the gods that were in the land. And he didn't put them up. They were already there when he came to power. But he'd been this way and been walking around in this with all these idols around and all the hills and all the priests and priestesses and all these things. Some of the things we're going to see going on right there on the temple, it's amazing. You're thinking, the Jews actually got involved in that? Yeah. And here was the king. It was a good king. But yet he was walking around all this time and didn't recognize, or something, he was blinded to the fact of, he just became like the frog being boiled in water of all this evil and wickedness that was around him. He tolerated it. But now things are going to be different. The king decides that he's going to now go and inquire of the Lord. He's going to get some people to go do that for him. He recognized that the wrath of the Lord's been aroused. And verse 14 says, Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, Achbor, Shaphan, and Asaiah went to Huldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. So figure this, he's probably a royal tailor, the keeper of the wardrobe. And his wife, or this relative, is a prophetess. And it's interesting, at this time in Israel, all the high priest, he goes and he finds a prophetess, not a prophet at this particular time. And in those days, there were prophetesses. We know that from the Word of God. But the fact that the Word of God is going to be found in a woman. And so he goes and he searches her out. And she was swimming upstream as well against the tide, I'm sure. And it says, regarding her, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, she dwelt in Jerusalem in the second quarter. And they spoke with her. Then she said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants, all the words of the book which the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be aroused against this place and shall not be quenched. But as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, in this manner you shall speak to him. Thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse, and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord. Surely, therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I will bring on this place. So they brought back the word to the king. That doesn't sound very good. It's not very encouraging. Now, the king, of course, is the one who read the book, tore his clothes, had the humbled heart there, it says in verse 20 and 19 regarding God. And because of that, even though a whole nation was going to be judged, he wasn't going to be a part of it. He was going to escape that. Now, his escape came from physical death. And I know that so many times we look at physical death as a bad thing, like, ooh, that's the last thing I want to do, right? You know, but hey, as a Christian, if you're not a Christian, that you really should be thinking that way. That's the last thing you want to happen, to be separated from God forever. You don't want that. But as a Christian, it's totally different. I mean, we'll no longer be in this sin-filled world with all the temptations and all the things that want to pull us away from the things of God. But even so, we know that that's the ultimate healing. That's the ultimate escape from everything there is to hear. I know we want the rapture instead. We want that first. But the idea is that was going to be the mercy for the king, that he was going to die before all this took place. He wasn't going to have to see his nation judged. I don't know. I just can't help but think of the USA when I look at this. But God gives grace to the humble. And God's always going to be with us. And we're going to escape the wrath of God, the Bible says, for sure, as his believers. But this was the condition in Israel. Now we get to chapter 23, and we see a man who rediscovered the Word of God and read the Word of God, and now had a tender heart towards the Word of God, and now he's going to take steps in his own life, his own ministry, if you will. He's the king. What he does affects people, and he's going to do the best that he can, while he can, to change things, even though judgment's already been pronounced. You know what I mean? You think, oh, well, let's just give up. I mean, after all, things are so bad, forget it. No. Let's read on what the king does. Now, the king sent them to gather all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem to him. Verse 1 of chapter 23. The king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah and with him all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great, and he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which had been found in the house of the Lord. Then the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people took a stand for the covenant. Now I want you to see something here very important in verse 3. Because sometimes we have a tendency to throw the Old Testament away because, oh, we're under grace now after all. And kind of, what really can we learn from the Old Testament? Well, what we can learn here tonight is that you see something here that I want us to zero in on. And that is, he's talking about keeping commandments and his testimonies. But the idea is with all his heart and with all his soul. Does that remind you of anything? The Lord tells us, and Jesus said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength. Wholeheartedness. And what we're going to see from this young King Josiah is what wholeheartedness looks like. Not caring what other people think. You just serve the Lord, knowing that someday you're going to face him and stand before him, and you don't care about what man thinks about you, what they can say about you, what they can do to you while you're here. It only matters. A God-fearing man only cares about what God's going to say to him when you stand before him face to face. And this is what wholeheartedness looks like 3,000 years ago in the nation of Israel by a 26-year-old king named Josiah. Verse 4 says, and the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest, the priests of the second order and the doorkeepers to bring out of the temple of the Lord all the articles that were made for Baal and Asherah and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried their ashes to Bethel. In other words, Baal is another god, Asherah is another god. And these things, it says, were in the temple of the Lord. This king that was a good king, he allowed this for 18 years in his reign. Now he's read the word and he's gotten serious about the things of the Lord. And now he's going to move heavily. It says he doesn't take the stuff and sell it to somebody. He goes in the house of the Lord and he cleans it up and he burns it. And I think that's a good thing to do with idols, is to burn them so that nobody else can get a hold of them. And he says that he carried their ashes to Bethel. Then he removed the idolatrous priest whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense on the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places all around Jerusalem, and those who burned incense to Baal, to the sun, to the moon, to the constellations, or that's the zodiac, and to all the hosts of heaven. This is a man that's wholehearted. He doesn't want to leave any little stone unturned because he realizes that he's going to face the king someday. And he brought out the wooden image from the house of the Lord to the brook Kidron outside Jerusalem. He burned it at the brook Kidron and ground it to ashes and threw its ashes on the graves of the common people. Then he tore down the ritual booths of the perverted persons that were in the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the wooden image. Now, believe it or not, right there at the temple, there were these ritual booths, and the perverted persons, these were the sodomites, the homosexuals, the prostitutes. That's what they had. It's hard to believe, hard to imagine that right there in Israel, right there next to the temple, there were booths that they practiced these rituals. That's where the nation was at that time. The word of God had been put away. And you get away from the word of God and you wonder, you have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Because little by little, that's the way it happens. Little by little. You know, there are some of us in here tonight that need to discover the word of God. You've never really heard from God through the word. You need to discover the word of God. There are some of us that are in need of rediscovering the word of God. You may even be reading the Bible, but it isn't really speaking to you. Maybe it's a dry situation. It's not the book. The problem is not with the book. The problem is always with the one that's reading the book or looking at the book. It's the heart condition that we come with. And then there's some of us that just need to be reminded once again. Oh, that you are reading the book and you realize that the book has changed your life. Not just the book, the God of the book. But you acquaint yourself through the book of the one, the God of the book. And you, this is just an amen for you tonight. You understand, you're like, yeah, that's right. That's right, I'm spending my time wisely. That's right, the word of God has changed my life.
We are so glad you joined us today in our continuing verse-by-verse study through the book of 2 Kings. We hope Pastor Bill Beckelman's message has shown you the power and love of God. For more messages from Pastor Bill, please visit our website at anchoredintheword.com. You can listen to and download a wide range of previous broadcasts or simply subscribe to our podcast. You know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. The Anchored in the Word podcast is a great way to hear God's Word. Subscribing to our podcast will provide you with sound biblical teaching wherever you go. That subscription link is available under the Broadcasts tab on our website. The address again is anchoredintheword.com. We'd love to hear how Anchored in the Word has touched you personally. So please feel free to give us a call at 732-544-2225. That number again is 732-544-2225. You can also email us through the website. We'd love to know how we can pray for you as you journey through this life with Jesus. You can also connect with us on Facebook to add a little biblical encouragement to your newsfeed. That's all the time we have for today on Anchored in the Word, but we're so grateful to have been able to share God's Word with you today. Join us again as Pastor Bill continues teaching verse by verse through the book of 2 Kings. It's our heart's desire that you would be moored in sound doctrine and anchored in the Word.